We are issuing a call to prayer today on the Line of Fire. Stay tuned, and your own heart will be set ablaze to pray, to seek the face of God, to break through.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, friends, this is a special broadcast today on the Line of Fire. As I've been praying and seeking the Lord about today, this has just been strongly laid on my heart. I'm not going to be taking phone calls, but I want you to write down this number, 1-800-278-9978. I'll tell you why in a little while. 1-800-278-9978. I'll tell you what that number's for in a little while. But sit back. Open your heart wide, be encouraged, be stirred as we talk about the call to prayer. Throughout the scriptures, we see the fundamental importance of prayer. Think of this. Right now I'm speaking to you, and I can, by the Spirit and by the truth of which I speak, by the Word of God, I can influence you, I can impact you in a certain way. Most of what we do, we are impacting people for God when we're doing His work. But more important than that, and more powerful than that, is when we get alone or join with others and impact God on behalf of people. There's so much you can do, there's so much I can do, but when we touch God, when we cry out to God, when we believe God, and we pray according to His will, and we touch God in prayer, there is no limit to what God can do. So I want to exhort you and encourage you to put first things first. And as I'm exhorting you and encouraging you, I'm speaking to myself as well. Throughout Scripture, we see the importance of prayer. We see how nations were saved by intercession. We see how individual lives were spared, were changed through intercession. We see how history was shaped and molded through prayer and through intercession. We see how Moses' prayers for Israel spared the people of Israel time and again from destruction. We see the importance of prayer when we look at the life of Jesus, in particular in Luke's gospel, the foundational importance of prayer and how he would separate himself to pray and sometimes pray all night and go to lonely places and get away from the crowds and pray, because he knew what mattered most was to be in communion with his Father. And he knew that what mattered most was to know the will of his Father. And he knew what mattered most was solid relationship with his Father. And he knew if his Father would move and act, then everything else would fall into place. And when pressure rose on the early believers, say in the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, when persecution rose, what did they do? They prayed. And what's written, those famous words in Acts 4:31, and when they prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken, and they were filled with the Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. When Peter's life was being threatened after another co-worker was martyred and he was next, what do the believers do in Acts 12? They pray without ceasing. What were the 120 doing in the upper room according to Acts 1:14? They were praying. Friends, if we could regain the spirit of prayer, our cities, our nations could be shaken. I gave you a special number, 1-800-278-9978. I have 24 hours of teaching on prayer and intercession on two CDs that you can listen to on your computer or for your MP3 player. 24 hours of teaching on two CDs. It's a $40 value plus postage. Today, they're yours for your gift of any size, whatever you can afford. Don't hesitate if your funds are low. Others will give more and make up the difference. But I want to encourage every one of you listening to get these series. They will change your life and impact you richly. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, and we'll send these to you. A value of $40 plus postage. We want to get these into your hands.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, this is a very important broadcast today on The Line of Fire. I won't be taking calls. It's one of those days where I want to convey my heart to you about some really urgent life and death matters, namely the importance of prayer, the importance of being men and women of prayer. This is a call to prayer today. So I'm not giving out the phone number. It's my habit to do it. I'm not doing that today. When I was speaking to pastors and leaders on the island this past Friday, we were talking about spiritual health, keys to spiritual health, and I said the number one thing, the most important thing, is cultivating intimacy with God, having a solid private relationship with God, and that is the thing that will be most challenged as we do the work of ministry. That's what I've told generations of students, and that's what I preach to myself. That's where the greatest challenge will be, and there is nothing more important we can do, friends, than minister at the throne of God. Ministry to people is important, but ministry to God in prayer and getting His favor and getting Him to move and act and getting ourselves in harmony with Him is more important than anything we can do in this world. By the way, it was a delight to meet many of you regular listeners on WMCA and WLIX yesterday, preaching at Bethlehem Assembly of God. So glad that so many of you were able to come, and those that came that I wasn't able to say hi to, thank you for being part of the meetings. Now, here's a number to write down, and I'll tell you why, because we're doing something we've never done before on the broadcast. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. I'll tell you what to do with that number in a little while. Listen to what Evan Roberts said. My mission, he was greatly used in the Welsh Revival 1904-1905. My mission is first to the churches. When the churches are aroused to their duty, men of the world will be swept into the kingdom. A whole church on its knees is irresistible. Look, as we've done some recent shows and talked about political issues, and some of this has gotten so volatile, not supporting a candidate or a party, but talking through different issues, I'm reminded again of how many opinions we can have, how many convictions we can have, how much we can misunderstand each other, miss each other, misrepresent, misinterpret each other, how much attack there can come in the body to divide us, and the place where we're all equal, the place where there can be no misunderstanding, is when we get alone with God who sees and knows all. And Jesus said that our Father who sees what we do in secret will reward us. And some texts say will reward us openly. If we could take some of our energy, some of our passion, some of our fervor, some of the intensity with which we hold our different views and turn that instead to prayer, can you imagine what would happen? You know, some of us are passionate. You know, we get in an argument about sports or about politics or about something else, and we're passionate, and we go to pray, and tired. God gets the leftovers. We put our energy into work. We put our energy into family. We put our energy into ministry, and there's a place for all of that, but we don't put our energy into prayer. We don't put focus into prayer. We don't pray as if prayer really mattered. And it could be just because of the spiritual warfare and how the flesh doesn't want to pray and how the enemy doesn't want us to pray. It could be we're discouraged because we haven't seen answers to prayer. It could be that we're ignorant of the power of prayer. It could be that we're simply lazy. But this much I know, if we would cut out other non-essentials in our lives and make quality decisions to spend more quality time in the presence of God, we would be changed, and things would change around us as God moved in answer to prayer. As Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about prayer in the sixth chapter, talking about not doing our praying in public to be seen. There's absolutely a place for corporate prayer. Judaism believed in corporate prayer. The early church prayed together. That's not the issue. It's about putting on a public show. And he talked about our prayer, getting alone, being with God. And notice what he said, when you pray. And then he gave the great pattern of prayer, called the Lord's Prayer, but it'd be better to think of it as the model prayer. He taught his disciples that in Luke 11. It's been pointed out that it's not recorded in the scriptures that the disciples ever came to Jesus and said, teach us to preach, or teach us to heal, or teach us to teach, or teach us to drive out demons. They certainly watched him do those things and learned from him, and they may have asked him those questions, but it's not recorded in scripture. What is recorded is that they said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples, and he gave that model prayer again in Luke, the 11th chapter. And then in the 7th chapter of Matthew, so still in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus exhorts and encourages his disciples to do what? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? I want to encourage you to ask and to seek and to knock. I want to encourage you to persevere and not to quit and not to let up and not to lose heart. I've often said to Nancy that some of my favorite verses in the Bible are in the Psalms, some of the most encouraging verses in the Bible that say things like, how long, O Lord? You say, that's encouraging? I soak my pillow with tears. How long, O Lord? You say, that's encouraging? Yeah, it's encouraging because it's in the Word to tell us that sometimes it looks like the answer hasn't come. And sometimes we're at the end of ourselves. If everybody in the Bible got instant answers, if everybody just snapped their fingers and the answers came, that would be discouraging because that hasn't always been the case with me, and I'm sure it hasn't always been the case with you. But throughout Scripture, we're exhorted, we're encouraged to persevere. Jesus, before he's betrayed, he goes in the garden to do what? To pray? It's the momentous time now in which he's going to be betrayed, and he's going to be beaten and crucified, and he's going to take on his own shoulders the sins of the world. So what does he do? He goes to pray. And he wants to pray with his closest friends, his disciples. There's power in doing that. And they start to fall asleep. I mean, it happens in Luke 9, too. They go on the Mount of, what's called the Mount of Transfiguration together with Jesus. He takes three of the disciples with him. And what happens? They start to get tired. Why? Because it's prayer time. How many times has that happened to you and to me? But notice he exhorts them. The flesh is weird. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Come on, can't you even pray an hour? Sometimes perseverance is just to stay where you are and not to get out of that room until the answer comes. I remember some years ago, we were faced with a really difficult decision to make that was going to affect our finances and lots of things in our lives. And it was a pressure, difficult situation, and I just couldn't get clarity from the Lord on it. And Nancy said, remember when you used to just go in the room and shut the door and not come out till you got an answer? And I said, got it. I received the exhortation. I got alone. I got on my knees. I prayed for about 3 hours. And with thundering clarity, I heard absolutely nothing. The nothing I heard was so loud, I came out and I said, God's going to move. There's nothing we're supposed to do. It was so clear that I heard nothing. It was one of those things. I knew he was saying, I'm going to move. And wow, did he move in a way that was stunning. Persevering in prayer can be every day you come back and you keep knocking. Father, you're faithful. Lord, you're true. Lord, your promises are true. You're good. I'll talk to you a little bit about effective ways to pray. But friends, if we could persevere, we'd see breakthroughs. And those breakthroughs would be earth-shattering. I gave you a number before, 1-800-278-9978. If you want to test my sincerity to see how much I want to get these materials in your hand, listen to what we're doing. I have 24 hours of teaching on prayer and on intercession. They're on two CDs, MP3 tracks. They're made to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player. So it's probably not going to work in your CD player in your car unless you've got the newest ones. Therefore, your computer or your MP3 player, they sell for $20 each plus postage. So that's $40 plus postage. I want to send them both to you for whatever you can afford, your gift of any size. If you've got $5 and that's what you can afford, that's fine. We'll send them to you because others will give more and it'll balance out. So everyone, take advantage of this. If you can afford $20, send that. Whatever it is, I want to send these to you. 1-800-278-9978. We'll pay the postage. We'll get them to you. I'm that serious about putting these in your hands. I believe you will be impacted. And we need to pray. 1-800-278-9978. Oh, and pray for me and the work that God has called us to do as well.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. This is one of those special broadcasts where I'm not taking any calls. In fact, if you are listening online for the second hour, which is always different than the first hour, today you're going to hear the second hour repeated. So listen to it again, because this is a call to prayer. This is an exhortation to pray. I can't tell you exactly when this hit me. This was laid on my heart that I need to do this. In fact, I started to get the burden as I was starting to pray, just to press into God myself. But when this specific burden hit that I've got to give a call to prayer today on the broadcast, I can't specify, but I know that it's the right thing for now. And let me be blunt with you. Probably any day of the week it's the right thing. Probably any day of the week and any time there's an opportunity to bring a message to the people of God, a call to prayer is relevant. A call to prayer is important. A call to prayer hits home. So I don't even need to say I know this is for today, because it's for always, as long as we're in this world. Now, I'm not taking calls. You can post your comments on Facebook if you like, on my Facebook page. That's ASKDR Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Or you can go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on the Line of Fire and post your comments there. If you have words of encouragement, favorite quotes about prayer, scriptures about prayer, post them. And let us exhort and encourage one another to pray. It's an interesting phenomenon, but when we get ourselves in harmony with God, then our prayers become in harmony with His will, and what we ask for and what we desire is what He wants to do. It's a truly blessed relationship and a blessed life. What does it say in Psalm 1 about the man who is truly blessed, truly happy? He doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the teaching, the Torah of the Lord, and in His teaching he meditates day and night. The Hebrew for meditate does not speak so much of just thinking about something, which is fine, that's a form of meditation, but reciting and repeating, almost that kind of holy mumbling of the passages and quoting them and just keeping them on your lips and on your tongue and in your heart and in your mind. So his delight is in the teaching of the Lord, and in his teaching and his law, he meditates day and night, as a result of which, what does it say? As a result of which, he'll be like a tree planted by streams of water, whose leaf doesn't wither, who brings forth fruit in season, and whatever he does succeeds. Why? Because he's in harmony with the will of God. Because he's delighting in the word of God. What's written in Psalm 37, verse 4? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because you're in harmony with him. when you're praying, when you're honoring Him, when you're delighting yourself in Him, when your highest joy is found in knowing Him and pleasing Him and serving Him, it means your heart's going to be pure. It means your motivations are going to be pure. It means you're going to be desiring good things. And then you cry out, He'll give you the desires of your heart. In the same way, in John the 15th chapter, Jesus talks about that. What does He say? If you abide in Me, or if you remain united with Me, and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Why? Because we're not going to be asking carnal, sinful, destructive, ugly things. We're not going to be looking to consume things in our own lusts. We're not going to be looking to hurt others so that we can advance. No, we're going to be in harmony with God. And now we're delighting in Him, and we want what He wants. And as we pray, we see answers. What's written in 1 John, the 5th chapter? Another wonderful passage, another word of encouragement. That this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, then we know we have the requests, the petitions that we have desired. And with that, we have a life of thanksgiving and praise, as also Paul teaches in Philippians, the 4th chapter, beginning in the 6th verse, where he encourages us not to be anxious about anything, but everything instead with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We make our requests known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all knowledge, all human knowledge, all of our ability to understand it or conceive it or comprehend it, the peace of God surpasses all knowledge, will keep our hearts and minds in Messiah Jesus. And then he encourages us in verse 8 to meditate and think on those things that are pure and holy and righteous. Don't be anxious. You say, but I'm worried. I have burdens. I have burdens too. I may not be a worrier. In fact, sometimes Nancy and I will be talking late at night, and I'll just say, I'm so worried. And she bursts out laughing because I never speak like that. I'm not a worrier. But I know what it's like to have burdens. I know what it's like to have things on my heart or mind that could cause anxiety. And Paul doesn't say, now, don't be anxious unless you're an anxious kind of person. Don't worry unless you're a worrier. Don't be distressed unless you're kind of an introspective, easily depressed person. No, he doesn't say that. What does he say? He says, don't be anxious, whoever you are. But instead, take those concerns, take those burdens, take those things that weigh on you, and share them with the Lord. Cast your burdens on the Lord, as it's written in Psalm 55. He'll sustain you. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. Don't be anxious, but take those things, cast them on the Lord in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and then that peace will come. Why the thanksgiving? Because it lifts our heart to look at who God is, because it reminds us of His faithfulness. You say, how do I pray with thanksgiving? You say, Father, I bring this request, this need to You. Lord, my son's away from You. Lord, You know his heart and how hurt he is towards the church. I lift him up to You. I pray You work in his heart. I'll pray You heal the wounds. I pray You bring him back to You. You pray those kinds of prayers. You cover him. You pray all the things You want the Lord to do on his behalf. And then you say, Father, I thank You that You're faithful. I thank You that You've promised to hear our prayers. Lord, I thank You that You're good. Lord, I thank You that You love him more than I love You. Lord, I thank You that You've heard me in the past and answered. Lord, I thank You that even now You're working. You give thanks in all these different ways. And as You do, Your own heart lifts. Your own heart's encouraged. And may I encourage you to take note of when God answers, even in things that are tiny and little, and be encouraged by them, and testify about them, and share the good news, and live a life of thanksgiving. All right, friends, I've never done this before, but both of my series on prayer, two sets of 8 sessions, total of 24 hours of teaching on 2 CDs, that they play them on your computer, you can transfer them to your MP3 player, 24 hours of teaching, 12 hours on prayer, 12 on intercession. Together it's $40 plus postage, but I want every one of you to have these because your life will be enriched, and if we can become people of prayer, the nation can be shaken. Whatever you can afford, if it's $10, if it's $50, if it's $100, if it's $5, whatever you can afford, Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. Or is that whatever's on your heart to give? 1-800-278-9978. We'll send these to you postage paid. Don't worry if you have little, because others with more always give. It always balances out. Let us get these in your hands. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you know, friends, that prayer can literally make the difference between life and death? Do you know that more effective than anything we can do, more important than anything we can do, is to pray? Oh, there are things we can do after we pray. But like John Bunyan said, there's nothing more that you can do than prayer until you pray. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on a special broadcast of The Line of Fire. I'm not taking calls, but you can weigh in with your comments at Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. That's ASK Dr. Brown on Facebook. Just like that page, or you can add your comments on our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Think of this. Abraham intercedes for Sodom, and God can't spare the city because there are not enough righteous people in it. But hey, if there had been a half dozen righteous people, God would have saved the city. Because of Abraham's prayer, he would have held back judgment at that time because of Abraham's prayer. Instead, he rescued Lot and his wife and two daughters. He rescued them. If Abraham hadn't prayed, would they have been rescued? That's a fair question to ask. But we know the city would have been spared for a season if there had just been a few more righteous people in it because Abraham prayed. In Luke, and that's Genesis 18. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus tells Peter that Satan has desired to have him, to sift him as wheat. But Jesus says, I've prayed for you that your strength won't fail. And when you're converted, meaning when you turn back in repentance, when you turn back, that would be a better translation, strengthen the brethren. In other words, you're going to go through a test. Satan's after you. And obviously, in certain ways, Peter's presumption or pride or self-dependence or zeal without wisdom opened the door to satanic attack, left him exposed. Jesus said, Satan's desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your strength won't fail. And when you turn back, so when you repent after you're failing, strengthen the brethren. You've got a mission and calling. So he did fall, but he didn't fall forever. He repented, and he came out a better man. He came out a stronger man. Why? Jesus prayed for him. Think of it. And I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, Acts the 12th chapter, where the believers prayed. Peter was in prison. James, Jacob had already been beheaded. Peter was next. And what did the believers do? They prayed. Acts the 12th chapter. They prayed. Doesn't matter if it's nighttime. Doesn't matter if they're tired. Doesn't matter if other things are going on. They prayed. And the answer came, and Peter was miraculously delivered. Boy, I love to quote this. You may hear it from me whenever I teach on prayer or mention Acts 12. But Thomas Watson, one of the great Puritan writers from England in the 17th century, in the 1600s, what did Thomas Watson say? It was the angel that fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. Prayer makes a difference. There's a Jewish tradition that says when Moses died, that God wept. It's a Jewish tradition. When Moses died, God wept because he said, who is going to pray for Israel? Who can intercede like Moses? I got close to Leonard Ravenhill the last 5 years of his life from 1989 to 1994. He went to be with the Lord then at the age of 87 in November of 1994. And I never knew a man of prayer like him, a man who prayed with such fervor, with such passion, with such brokenness, with such depth, with such spiritual penetration. And he prayed for me daily. Sometimes he'd tell me, Mike, I pray for you morning, noon, and night. Before I would travel overseas, the last call I'd make is I'd call Brother Len and I'd say, please pray for me. I'm about to get on the plane and leave for India. And he, Mike, he'd tell me, I'll follow you every day in my prayers. And he couldn't wait till I got back to give the report. And I remember when he went to be with the Lord, I said, who's going to pray for me like Leonard Ravenhill prayed? Friends, your prayers can make the difference between life and death.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, this is a special broadcast, one of those broadcasts I do every so often where I don't take any calls, but there is a call. It's a call to prayer today. I am exhorting you. I am encouraging you. I am challenging you to go deeper in prayer. To seek the face of God, to make prayer a greater priority, to shut out other things that distract and take us away from what really matters, to follow the example of the great leaders in Scripture. Daniel changes history through prayer. Moses changes history through prayer. Elijah changes history through prayer. Jesus and Paul change history through prayer. I want to encourage you to learn from our leaders, to learn from the example of the Son of God himself, and to encourage yourself, to remind yourself of when God has answered, to remind yourself of the times when he has come through dramatically, to remind yourselves that nothing is impossible with God. I'm not taking calls today, but you can weigh in on our website, askdrbrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, or you can go to our Facebook page, ASKDR Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. The end of the last segment, I mentioned Leonard Ravenhill as the most powerful man of prayer that I knew. Not only the consistency of his prayer life, but the passion of it, the depth of connection. If you heard him preach, his preaching was incredibly penetrating and eloquent. Even as an old, frail man, he could preach and sometimes couldn't finish his message because people would start crying out as he was preaching. I remember being in a meeting, and he said, even now, if you're convicted, come now to the altars. And he was preaching in California, maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people, and he couldn't finish his message. People stormed the altar. They began crying out and seeking the face of God. He couldn't finish his message. And to the degree that he had touched God in prayer, those people were touched as he ministered. If you read his books were even more eloquent than his preaching. But when he prayed, he was even more eloquent than his books. There was just something of the depth of his heart for God that would be articulated as he prayed. And I remember the first time that we prayed together at his home in 1989, I just got on my face just weeping and sobbing, being in his presence as he sought the face of God. And what a privilege it was to be close to him in prayer and a close friend the last 5 years of his life. Listen to what he said. There is no field more unexplored in Christian experience and possibility than this limitless field of prayer. Can I read that again? There is no field more unexplored in Christian experience and possibility than this limitless field of prayer. Prayer means care for souls. Prayer means pain. Prayer means privacy, for often the battle is waged alone. Prayer means power. Luther said, prayer means sweat on the soul. Prayer means filling in the sufferings of Christ. We cannot shoot fire-belching jet planes with slingshots, nor repulse tanks with bottles. Less still can we push back the powers of darkness with mere words. Jude talks of praying in the Holy Ghost. This praying alone can bring to pass the purpose of a holy God and put to flight the army of alien powers. This praying is no toy soldier's game. This is realism. This is a fight to the death. No parley with the enemy. No truce. No terms. A fight to the death. He's not talking about physical death or taking life, obviously. He's talking about this depth of the spiritual battle. And this is where the real life and death battle is fought. This is where everything shakes for a nation, for a church, for an individual, for a family, as we cry out to God and God moves. Look, the scriptures tell us that there will be battles. Jesus himself teaches on prayer in Luke 18, and he gives a parable. What's the nature of the parable? He taught this parable so that people would not faint or cave in or lose heart. Those are some of the different translations of the Greek there in Luke 18:1. And he talks about that persistent widow who wouldn't quit, who kept knocking, who kept asking. Here she's got nothing going for her. She's just a widow. She has no social status. She has no powerful allies. She has no funds on her behalf. She's appealing to an unjust judge. And this unjust judge doesn't fear God. He doesn't care about people. How is she ever going to prevail? She persists. And the unjust judge finally says, even though I don't fear God, I don't care about people, I'm going to grant to her request, lest she wear me out, lest her continual bothering wear me out. And Jesus says, hear what he says. He says, will not your heavenly Father answer you who cry out for justice day and night? And won't he answer speedily? Nonetheless, when the Son of God comes or the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Meaning, even though God will answer, even though if we persist in prayer, we will see answers, how many will do it? How many will really be walking in faith? But hear what he's saying. He's not saying God is an unjust judge. He's saying even that unjust judge will answer if you keep coming to him. How much more will God? But notice what he says. If you cry out for justice day and night, it's going to take perseverance. George Mueller, halfway through his ministry, had documented 5,000 instantaneous answers to prayer. 5,000 instantaneous answers to prayer. The famous accounts in the orphanage where they would bow their heads in prayer before it was time for a meal, and there was no food, and they would thank God for the food and his provision, and the next thing, a knock on the door, some truck full of food. I just felt compelled. I was supposed to bring this here. He documented 5,000 instantaneous answers to prayer. He was meticulous with his prayer life. He was meticulous with his stewardship. He documented this. But there are other things he prayed for daily for decades. Someone asked him once, aren't you discouraged with some people you've prayed for daily for 50 years and they're not saved yet? And Mueller said, oh no, if I've seen God answer instantly, to paraphrase his answer, how much more assured am I that he'll answer those prayers I prayed daily for 50 years? Can I give you a little study to do, encourage you to do something, and I do it in this teaching series that we're making available to you as well this week? Read the letters of Paul, the opening chapters of his letters. Read how he prays for Timothy. Read how he prays for the Philippians. Read how he prays for the Colossians. Read how he prays for the Ephesians. There you have it in Ephesians 1 as well as Ephesians 3. Look at the prayers he prays and how he says, we give thanks to you for you continually. Look at how he prays for the Thessalonians. We pray unceasingly. I pray for you day and night with tears. Are you busier than Paul? Mike Brown, are you busier than Paul? Do you have more ministry responsibilities than Paul? Come on, if Paul could pray like that and write to us in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing, certainly we can be lifting up requests to God through the day and through the night, whenever they're on our heart, and then we can find those times in a quality way to get alone with God. And as we make it a priority and put him first, God will give grace for us to do it more. Friends, I really want to get this into your hands. It is teaching I've done on prayer, the best teaching I ever did on this. Some years back, I recorded two series at a night class I was doing, 8 sessions each session 90 minutes, so 12 hours per series, one on prayer, and then where we go even deeper, on intercession. They're $20 each. In fact, we used to have them on cassette tapes. Remember those? Some of you still listen to them. And I remember when we first had them, we used to sell them for $32 in this big album. And then we were able to put them on one CD to listen to on your computer or for your MP3 player. We reduced the price to $20 for each series. So it's $40 plus postage. But don't worry about that. Many of you don't have $40. If you have $5 or $10 or $20, whatever you can afford, Trust me. Don't feel bad. Well, I don't want to hurt your ministry. Trust me. People who have more will give more. It always works out. I just need to repeat this because I want to encourage you. Whatever you can afford, those that can be generous, be generous. Those that can help finance 100 people getting these, you do that. And those that can afford almost nothing, this way you can get it, and there's no lack, all right? Whatever you can afford, your gift of any size, I want to send these to you, all right? 1-800-278-9978. I mean both of them. All I ask is that you'll listen to them. Remember, you listen to them on your computer or you download them, the MP3s for your MP3 player. 12 hours on prayer, 12 hours on intercession, deep in the Word, and then really exhorting, encouraging. I believe your lives will be impacted. So call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. If you feel led to help with an extra gift, if you want to become a monthly torchbearer and help hold our hands up as part of our support base for this radio ministry, which is the base for everything we do around the world, give us a call right now, 1-800-278-9978. If you simply want to give a gift to the ministry, go to our website, askdrbrown.org, click on support. And above all, I ask you, pray for me. Pray for this ministry. Pray that we'll be full of the Spirit and doing the will of God and lifting up Jesus.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, just have one segment left to encourage you, to exhort you to prayer. And trust me, I'm not preaching to you and leaving me out. I'm encouraging you, I'm encouraging me to be men and women of prayer, to be young people of prayer and old people of prayer. The greatest thing we can do is get alone with God and seek His face and cry out to Him, or gather with others and do it. It's more important than any other ministry you can do. And then everything else will be more empowered, and everything else will be more glorifying to Jesus, and everything else will be more in the Spirit, and everything else will be more in harmony with God. And who knows what God will do in answer to prayer. I started to give out the number. No calls. I'm not taking calls today. But write down this very important number. Trust me, if you haven't called this yet, you'll want to in a few minutes. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. This whole hour, I've been giving encouragement to pray. Earlier this month, we set aside a day. Took some extra time out of the day with our staff at different times of the day, our ministry team here, for our broadcast, for my traveling ministry, for ministry to the Jewish people, for the work that we do for revival and Jesus Revolution here in America. We gathered our team, and we fasted. It was September 13th, and we were fasting for breakthroughs. We were crying out to God together in prayer, and we needed large amounts of money, many, many tens of thousands of dollars to be released for the radio ministry and to support our workers around the world and for Jewish outreach and the other things that we're doing. Again, this radio broadcast serves as the hub of everything that we're doing around the world and even helps recruit the next generation of students to be trained in Fire School of Ministry and sent out to the nations and sent out across America. So this is the hub. So we were praying, and again, we needed some financial breakthroughs, so we were appealing to God. We were appealing to God, who then touches people. And it was September 13th. Well, God did release some significant funds, and God did do some other things that were really encouraging in answer to prayer. But Monday, I got a note that a faithful supporter of ours, a dear brother with his wife, stands with us on a regular basis, had sent the largest gift that he had ever sent, and it was $13,000 and change. It was actually close to $14,000, but it was, I get a note, just received a gift for $13,000 from so-and-so, just to let me know and let us know that we were able to meet some obligations with that. And I thought, isn't that just like the Lord? Even if he sent it before we prayed and fasted. God knew what we were doing. That we prayed on the 13th, and a check for $13,000 plus came in on that day. Why that amount? To me, it was just the Lord's encouragement. I told one of my colleagues, next time we'll fast on the 31st, fast and pray on the 31st. You get that. But in all seriousness, many times I've found that if we have not really been diligent in prayer, or if we've not set aside time to pray and fast and prioritize those things, that when we do, God goes out of his way to send extra encouragement. Say, hey, I'm with you. Hey, I'm blessing you. Hey, I'm smiling on you. If you will seek me more and not run around in such a frenzy, if you'll seek me more, not only will our relationship deepen, the Lord says to us in his word and by his spirit, not only will our relationship deepen, not only will we become more like him, not only will our prayers be in harmony with his will, but we'll see God answer and move. How many of you have dealt with a person that was stubborn and belligerent, and you humbled yourself and you were gracious and you knew what you did what you could to be Christ-like towards that person, and you didn't see breakthroughs, and God just convicted you, just stop and just pray for that person. Just get alone and pray, and then God touches them, and they're transformed. How many times have you tried every way to figure this out and make this work, and all these efforts, and on and on and on, and we're going to connive here and twist this a little bit here and break the rule a little bit, just to make the thing work, but not sin really. And of course, it's just the flesh. And then God convicts us, why don't you just pray? Why don't you just seek me? And we get alone with him, and sometimes instantly he begins to move or answer. And it's his way of encouraging us, this is what you need to do. More important than anything else, this is what you need to do. I hope you feel the spirit on what I'm sharing, the way I feel it as I share with you. Think of this. Often in Paul's letters, Paul asked for prayer. Paul, the mighty Paul, the writer of roughly half of the New Testament. When you think of those who influence New Covenant life after Jesus, the Son of God himself, at the top of the list of human beings is Paul. Paul, who, as best as we understand, was caught up to the third heaven according to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and received revelation that he couldn't even utter to other people. Paul, who had Jesus appear to him and call him into ministry when he was sinning against the Lord. Paul, whose letters are the most read letters in more languages and by more people than any letters ever been written by anybody. Paul often asked for prayer. Hey, if Paul could ask for prayer, you better believe I'm asking for your prayer. And everybody knew that. Every one of you can pray. Even if you can't get out of bed, you can pray and God can hear you. Even if you can't open your mouth and speak, God can hear the cry of your heart. Paul asked for prayer. He asked for boldness. He asked for doors to be open. He asked that he would be able to proclaim the message clearly. How powerful is prayer that even Paul said, helped by your prayers, I know I'm going to make it. And in Romans 15, he talked about wrestling in prayer. In Romans 8, he talked about the Spirit making intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. Prayer can be intense. Prayer can be powerful where we're just groaning in intercession. Prayer can be a delight where we're just worshiping and praising and thanking God and lifting up requests and confidence. Prayer can be sometimes sweating, as it were, drops of blood, that the prayer is so intense. Prayer can just be resting in the presence of God and saying, Father, I love you. And Lord, I got so much on my mind, I just share it with you. You know, many times I've gone to pray and just unburdened myself, and I don't have an answer, but when I'm done, I have peace and joy because I've just given everything over to God. I can't believe it. I'm out of time already, but look, I've got 24 hours of teaching I want to get in your hands. No hype. No hype here. 24 hours of teaching on two CDs for your computer or MP3 player on prayer and intercession for whatever you can afford. It's a $40 value plus postage, but don't let that scare you. If you can only afford 20 or 10 or 5, send whatever you can afford. We'll send them to you because these resources will change your life. And hey, if you pray, God's going to move, and that's part of our mission is to see him move and act. And those that have more and can help finance those that have less, give extra as you can, and it'll all balance out. But call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, the words of Jesus himself, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open.